live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
Yes, that was a late introduction, wasn't it? I kind of waited there. I'm trying out a new microphone stand. It's technically not a microphone stand. It's actually a phone holder. So, you know, if you want to clip your phone onto a desk and then you can take videos of you doing whatever. But I'm using it as a microphone stand. And thus far, I must say, I'm quite happy with how I've utilized this phone thingy-majig. But anyway, that's enough about me and my new mic stand. I hope you're all fantastically well. It is, of course, Sunday. It's time for the Sunday sermon, Sunday spooky sermon. So if you listened to the We Don't through the week and you're a new listener, you're probably a bit confused as to what went on there. Well, as I explained at the time, we don't need to talk about ghost episodes, quite self-explanatory, are episodes where we don't talk about ghosts. And they're just a little something extra that we decided to do to get us all through lockdown. You so you have something to listen to and me so I have something to do. And then they just carried on a bit from there. But these episodes on a Sunday will always be filled with spook. Yes, they will. They are a spook fest indeed. And today will be no exception. First off, though, let's check in with all of you wonderful guys. Are you all okay? Good. I'm glad to hear so. Sorry, did I leave you a suitable amount of time to reply there? Are you all okay? Good. Good. What was that, Jeff from Vermont? You're not. Well, I never. Well, I've got something that may cheer you up. You may recall a while back, myself and Becca were talking about things that we'd eaten from America and stuff like that, and we hadn't tried and things like that. And one of our wonderful listeners, or two of our wonderful listeners, should I say, Robin and Gwen, have actually sent us the loveliest little parcel. Yes, they have. A lovely note inside on such a wonderful card. But the key thing is, she mentioned in her note, I hear that you've not yet tried. Oh, she's American. She doesn't sound like this, but I'm going to try it. I keep it in this mic stand. I'm sorry. I'm going to try it anyway. She says, I hear that you ain't tried candy corn. And no, I hadn't tried candy corn. But Robin and Gwen have sent over some candy corn. Here it is. It's yet to be opened. And what I'm going to do right here and now, for all you wonderful people, is try America's favourite sweet, allegedly, candy corn. I'm going to open it live on air. Oh. Right, first impressions. The smell is the most sugar you've ever smelt in your life. And I'm going to take one of these things. It looks like, how to describe it? It looks like someone's pulled out a tramp's front teeth. Is the best way to describe it. So, you know, edible. Let's see how we get on. Oh, it's soft. I did not expect that. Hold on. I noticed. Sorry, people don't really like people chewing down a microphone, dude. Is it just sugar? What else is in it? Sorry, I know this is very boring for everyone. Corn syrup, glaze, salt. It's just sugar in it. There's no corn. Made with real honey. Oh, there you go. There's honey in it. I get the feeling these are really bad for you. However, I'm not against them. Interesting. But they're kind of tasteless, aren't they? But it's like a little pellet of honey. Yeah. Anyway. Robin and Gwen, thank you so much for sending that over. I'm going to, when Becca comes up in a bit, she's going to try it for the very first time and we'll get her opinion and impression. Yes. How interesting. Soft tramp's teeth, but taste like sugar and honey. I tell you what, it's a good job it's winter or coming into winter because I imagine wasps would love these and I hate wasps. They're just basically scallies with a stingy knife tail. And unlike bees, who if you leave them alone, just go away, scally wasps will go, what are you looking at, lad? What are you looking at? Where are you going? Yeah, here's your wallet. Because they are the scally of the insect world. Well, probably not an insect. Anyway, none of this is scary. So it's normally around this time that we would say hello and thank you to our new wonderful Patreons. And we do have a few that we need to thank. However, much to some people's relief, this week I have literally no instrument. Oh, Mrs. No, but I don't. I don't have a single thing I can pluck. A single thing I can press. I have no instruments because I've took the strings off all of them because I want to do some new songs. So I need to get new strings. And in a fit of basically borderline mania, I decided to remove strings off every stringed item I have. So we will be singing your names out next week. Yes, we will, with brand new strings, you lucky, lucky Patreons. Big thank you to all of our Patreons, as usual, especially our new ones. You will get your song next week, I promise you, on a new stringed instrument. As I mentioned last week, the Patreons were privy to a new video sort of exclusive that went live on Patreon last week, where I'd done a little tour of Liverpool, yes. Went around some of the Beatles sites, and the feedback was very good. So this coming Wednesday, there will be another video release on the Patreon site where I go to the Anglican Cathedral and walk around the graveyard. Yes, not only that, but we also walk past the house that was mentioned on the Ethna Brown episode. More or less, not even more or less, definitely without the owner's permission. So that would be good. If you'd like to see that and all of the 100 plus episodes that are on there already, along with today's episode, which is going to be again about nature spirits because we had some good feedback on that, then you need to go to patreon.com/we need to talk about ghosts. And that's where you'll find all that fantabulous stuff. But yeah, new video coming out Wednesday to the Patreons. Enjoy it. In the meantime, shall we see what weird things have been happening this week? I do believe we shall.
Weekend Weird.
Yes, it's that time of the week where we look at what's going on in the world of weird. Well, the following article is taken from TalkSport.com. Is it a sports article? Well, yeah, kinda. And it claims that UFC legend, Diego Sanchez, I've never heard of him either, says he was visited by a UFO this Wednesday. And the article says, no, you didn't read that wrong. The New Mexico resident, he's in New Mexico, you know what that means, Roswell, anyway, claims a UFO flew over his house and it was obvious it was watching him. And to be fair, I wouldn't argue with him. He looks like a meathead. New Mexico is something of a hotbed, for want of a better term, for UFO sightings, and Sanchez got his daughter to witness the moment too. The welterweight wrote on Twitter, I was doing energy work on my patio as a UFO flew right up on me. I called for my daughter. Quick, quick. She watched this thing hover. I think he means hover. Only hundreds of feet away. Albuquerque is a trip. Sightings are regular here. But this shit, how dare he, was contact tonight. It was obviously watching me. It then goes on to talk about how good he is at fighting people in the face, and we're not really asked about that, let me see. But now the 38-year-old is in the winter of his career, but apparently he is connecting, kind of, with aliens in his downtime. And then he goes on to talk about fighting again and punching people in the face. He says, today, a powerful portal of light energy is open. If there ever was a night to connect with the universe, that night was it. I'm not suggesting he's been on some mind-altering substances, but, you know, maybe he did see a UFO. Interestingly, you know that film I was telling you all to watch called The Phenomenon? And you can't stream it anyway. You have to buy it. I pay like £9 for it on Amazon to watch it and stream it. But it's dead good. Anyway, I listened to a podcast with the director of that, Jamie Foxx, recently. Not that one. And he was saying he's been made aware that there is going to be an absolute revelatory announcement coming exceptionally soon. He said he can't tell us who told him, obviously. But yeah, expect a governmental announcement, RE, UFOs, very shortly, he says. And that, for one, makes me excitamundo. So imagine what it does to that UFC fighter, who's got pervy ones coming to watch him do workouts in his back garden. Naughty aliens. Anyway, that's enough for this week's Weekend Weird.
Weekend Weird.
And we are back. As always today, our stories have been sent in by you lovely listeners to the email address contact@talkaboutghosts.com. I read that very slowly because we are now running short of stories. So this is kind of a call to action. If you are sitting on a story, oh, how uncomfortable, then please send it on in and I will read it out. And listen to the midpoint because there's also a little bit of additional information. If you don't want to send it in, you'd sooner do it in another way. That's all I'll say for now, peeps. Anyway, Our first story today comes in from Anonymous, yes. And I have a sneaking suspicion it's the same anonymous person who sent us in that wonderful story about the army barracks. Yes, I do. And you'll see why. Anyway, without further ado, Anonymous's story. And it's called Don't Call Out. I was working in a children's nursery on a British army base abroad. The nursery was housed in an old two-story block, once used for accommodation. The children were separated by age group between three rooms, which was separated by a long corridor, and that corridor had bathrooms on one side and laundry and kitchen on the other. As you walked down it, there were stairs at either end to the upper floors, and then a little further down, the turn into the last children's room, which had its own short corridor and rooms leading off before opening into the main one. This room had a patio door leading to an unused, completely enclosed patio area. We had a circuit breaker alarm on that door in case any of the children opened it. In brackets, is that the term, the type of alarm that you put on one frame and one door and if they come apart they alarm loudly? Yes, I think it is. The building was creepy, despite being full of children. Particularly in the corridor. I used to get a really unsettling vibe, like being watched from behind when I was in the laundry. On more than one occasion, I saw from the corner of my eye somebody walk past and behind me when I knew all the adults were in the rooms. And I check to see nobody there. I used to hurry through that part of the job as quickly as I could. The building always seemed cool, even in the height of summer, when the flags were cracking outside. But I don't know if it's just the construction and design. Upstairs was largely unused. There were several empty rooms that nobody ever went in. Nobody ever had to. We did use one on one occasion for staff meetings. And it was this room we were in the night it happened. The room was at the back, directly above the one with the patio. We had finished our business and we were sat around chatting when conversation turned to the creepy vibe and I mentioned the corridor. Someone else said, "Well, you do know this block is haunted, don't you?" And one girl started taking the piss, calling out to the ghost, "Give us a sign." I told her to shut up and not provoke, but she was an arsehole and carried on. She was enjoying taunting me more than expecting anything to come forward. "Give us a sign if you're here. Make a noise. Let us know your presence." She sounded like Yvette Fielding. Suddenly, there was a noise from one of the rooms across from ours. A bump of sorts. Some of us went quiet. Someone went to check, but there was no one there. She carried on taking the mickey and was now midway through saying she didn't believe anything like this, when from downstairs came an almighty disturbance, and the patio door alarm was screaming out. Now, you can imagine, it being a nursery, the security was pretty tight. It being a nursery on an army base, the security was watertight. There was nothing to fear from intruders. In brackets, quite the opposite, as you never, ever chose to cross an army wife. So, myself and another lass went downstairs to check out what was going on. There was a horrible feeling on the stairs, but that was probably because the lights were off and the building was large and empty, apart from us and the women waiting upstairs. We went to the room and the first thing we saw was paper everywhere. Loose notes and art supplies just scattered all over, as though someone had lifted them up in a pile and threw them into the air. The next thing we saw was the central rug, which was a large, beautiful, quality heavy rug, the type that doesn't move on its own and sticks like jam to a blanket to the carpet underneath. This looked like it had been lifted up and flung to the side. No mean feat, as it took two of us to put it back. The door alarm was still screaming. We checked outside, but there was no sign of anyone around, and the area was walled off on all sides. We shut the door, but it continued to alarm, and we found that one half of the alarm had come off. We found it in the middle of the room. The manager had a quick scout around the rest of the place and reported back. All doors and windows were locked. There was no sign of anyone. So, it remains a mystery. Nothing as dramatic as that ever happened again in the time I was there. But there were plenty of stories and experiences other people had in various buildings on that camp. It was riddled with ghosts, an investigator's paradise, which sadly no longer exists. Lots of love, Anon. I like that, Anon, because Anon also means it's like Shakespearean for goodbye, innit? I bid you Anon. And then they pretend to play guitar. Anyway, Anonymous, what another amazing army barracky story. I do like army barrack stories. We got loads of good feedback on the one last week, and this one is brutal. Sorry, everyone. I'm not used to having the stand here. I've just literally given it a left hook. Nearly broke all the equipment. What a silly welly. Anyway, what a story. Nurseries are very spooky. Let me tell you a little story about a nursery. So, my eldest nephew, he's bloody just turned 15. I can't bloody believe that, honest to God. Because I remember, he's still like a little dot. Anyway, I used to take him to nursery when we all lived in the same house, in my father's house, just after my sister gave birth to him. And I used to take him to nursery, and we were very close. We still are very close. Anyway, his nursery was called Les Enfants, okay? You can Google that and search it. It's in Highton in Liverpool. Les Enfants, right? And it always gave me a very, very creepy vibe anytime we'd go there. I'd stand outside and I'd be like, I don't like that building at all. And anytime I'd see a kid crying in there, I'd be like, they've seen something. Anyway, so much so that one day in work, I've just got a waft of perfume. That's bizarre. That is bizarre. I'm upstairs, by the way. That is very strange. Anyway, so much so that one day in work, God, it's dead strong. Oh, my Lord. I'm going to carry on. So much so that in work, I Googled the nursery, Les Enfants. Turns out, it used to be, what do you think it was before it turned into a nursery? Literally up to the point where it turned into a nursery, what was it? If you're saying mortuary, you're quite right. Who goes to look at a mortuary and thinks, I can see little children running around this place and having fun. Yes, I can. I'll tell you who. Sadists. Yes, that's who. However, it was a good nursery and the staff were brilliant, yeah. I recommend it to anyone, especially those with sensitive children. The ones who can go in and see the dead themselves, for they will never be lonely. But yeah, brilliant. So thank you very much, Anonymous. And I do hope you've sent more stories in. Or you will send more stories in. Anyway, let's have another. Well, before we have another story, Becca's just come up. And I'm going to give her some candy corn. The lucky, lucky thing. Do you want to taste some candy corn?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. Basically, what I done was I give my opinion on what it looks like, the texture, and then what it tastes like. Okay, now you need to speak into this somehow.
Sure.
Okay. Are you ready? Are you ready to taste America?
I am. This is huge in America, isn't it?
This is huge in America, yeah. Apparently. So go on. Dig in. First impressions?
Less squishy than I thought it was going to be.
Less squishy.
Yeah.
Interesting.
It's like the consistency of a jelly baby, would you say?
Like
rather than a squishy jelly?
I thought they looked hard, you see. So
I thought they looked squishy.
Really? Yeah. Okay. I thought also it looks like a tramp's tooth.
Well, I was going to say tramp's tooth, but yeah, the white and the orange and the yellow.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Smells sweet.
Smells sweet. It does smell sweet, which is good because it's a sweet. It's in. What do you think? She's still chewing.
Still thinking.
She looks unsure.
Okay.
Speak up for that.
Interesting texture.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not quite the texture of a jelly baby, but is what I'd say like the texture of the outside of a jelly baby.
Okay. Did you expect any corn to be in there? Because I did. I thought it was candied corn.
An actual piece of sweet corn.
Yeah.
Well, why would they do that?
Well, God knows.
But, no, it's called candy corn because of how it looks.
It's also made with real honey, just in case you're wondering.
It is sweet. Yeah, it's nice. It's sweeter than I was expecting to.
So, yes or no?
Yeah.
So you're a fan?
Yeah.
Well, there you go. Thank you, Robin and Gwen. That's rounded off both of our things. Okay, I'm going to get back to doing some ghost stories then. Our next story is a little bit different than usual. Basically, in the last week, I've been having an email back and forth with a lady called Lisa from Stockport. And she asked me if I had ever heard of a ghost from a pub in Stockport known as the Tiviot. And I said I hadn't. And she went back and forth, and she was saying she used to work there, she was a barmaid, she's seen all sorts of strange things. And the other day, doing a little bit of a clean of the area where my books are, the bookshelf, I came across a book, and in that book is a story about the Tivoli. So I sent her a picture of this and said, does that ring any bells? She sent back a shocked face and was like, that's it, that's exactly the story. So I'm going to read it out from the book Dark Tales of Old Cheshire, and this is for Lisa. The licensee, Dave, explained how one day a member of staff opened the trapdoor as usual, but before they could reach for the light switch, they distinctly saw a ghostly face staring back at them from the steps. It appeared to be the face of a young child. This was backed up by an incident in the pub's history where a mother and child were killed on those very steps, presumably from a fall, because the entrance to the cellar is very steep. Following this information, we later conducted a ghost tour of several pubs in Stockport town centre, including the Tiviot. No activity was reported in the evening, but when we returned there the following week, we were told that a playful poltergeist had started interfering with the daily running of the pub. In that one week, the gas taps to the pumps behind the bar had been switched off by a mysterious hand in the cellar. No one else had been around at these times to have played a joke on Dave, and he had to go down into the cellar to manually turn the taps back on again. This happened several more times, and in early October, myself and five other people conducted an all-night ghost hunt in the cellars of the pub. Whilst directly below the bar area, I heard some very but fast footsteps which sounded like those of a child. Upon investigation upstairs, there was nothing to be seen. The pub was in fact closed and securely locked, the only other person inside being the landlord, Dave, who was asleep on the first floor. Another member of the group heard three heavy footsteps walking towards her, but as her lights went out, she could see nothing. The steps seemed to stop directly in front of her, but when we switched on the torches, there was no one to be seen. And none of the other members of the group, in brackets, who were all wearing trainers and could not have made such loud footsteps, had moved. Several loud bangs and crashes were heard emanating from the cellar door whilst we were down there, and also from upstairs on the ground floor, although cause could be found for those noises. About a fortnight after the vigil, Martin and I were conducting more ghost tours in the cellar, and on one particular occasion, a member of the public had a nose stud mysteriously ripped from her nose. None of the crowd had pulled or caught the stud, or been near enough the lady at the time of the incident, and when retrieved from the floor, the gold stud was found to have been bent out of shape. The lady took it to a jeweller's shop, but the insistent said it was impossible to fix. Not much is known of the history of the building, except that it was once called the Horseshoe, and in 1830 the landlord was tragically killed by an explosion of gunpowder on the London coach. His bereaved wife left the pub in 1833, and it is unlikely that this has anything to do with the ghost children in the cellars, but you can never be sure. At the time of writing, this case is definitely not closed, with little incidents of poltergeist activity being constantly brought to my attention. Dun, 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 dun. And that story is from Dark Tales of Old Cheshire by Angela Conway, a little book there. But as I say, that story is for Lisa. We had a very serendipitous back and forth where she was asking about that particular pub, and I said, no, never heard of it. And then, lo, I did hear about it. So thank you, Lisa, for those emails, and thank you, Angela Conway, for your amazing book, Dark Tales of Old Cheshire. Okay, let's have a midpoint. Hooray! It is time for the midpoint, and we have some exciting news. So, first piece of exciting news that I want to tell you is if you would like to appear on the show yourself, yes, and we will have a discussion about your spooky experience, then get in touch. email contact@talkaboutghosts.com. I've told our Patreons about this morning because they, of course, find out everything first. But we are going to start trialing live calls, if you will. So if you want to come on and tell your spooky story and we can have a conversation about it for the podcast, then email contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we will do that. So that's important announcement numero uno. Important announcement numero two is myself and Becca will be doing a charitable walk, a 10-kilometer walk for the charity Kind. I'm here with Becca, who's going to tell us all about it.
Yeah, okay. So, guys, you'll remember the charity Kind. We did the food hampers for the food crisis over lockdown. And we did quite a few episodes when we were delivering, didn't we?
Yes, we did, yeah.
So Kind is this little local children's and family charity in Liverpool. It's been going for over 45 years. This will be the 45th year of the Christmas hamper
appeal.
Yes. So what they do is they kind of work with a load of local organisations and people who kind of literally don't get a Christmas. They do these Christmas hampers for them, and they're amazing. These hampers, they've got like everything you would need, like the turkey, the dinner, the full Christmas dinner, the works. They've even got toys and things for the kids. Like yeah. It's like Christmas in a box, basically. Like the huge these hampers, they're brilliant. So they're doing that this year. Well, they've been doing that for the past, this will be the 45th year that they do those.
Yeah.
So people who without them, just Christmas wouldn't really be, there would be no Christmas. But it's kind of, obviously it's really, really tough on this year because a lot of the fundraising things that they usually do, they just can't do. Like they've usually got a shop in the city centre.
Yeah, they've usually got a shop, haven't they, that sells like, you know,
All sorts
of stuff, yeah.
Yeah, like it's kind of part charity shop and then part, like, you know, they do wrapping paper, Christmas cards, yeah. You know, that kind of thing. But that's all gone. So anyway, so we're doing this sponsored walk for them. If anyone could spare a pound or two to donate, that would be really, really amazing. You know,
yeah. Absolutely. No, we've pressure. Set up a GoFundMe. We've smashed the target we just wanted to smash. Oh, is it Just Giving?
Just Giving page, yeah.
Okay. We've smashed the target we wanted to smash, but, you know, the more we raise, the more families get it. It's £75 for a family box. Yeah. We've managed to get around 4 family boxes thus far.
Yeah, it's literally as direct as that. Like, the amount we get will genuinely mean an extra box can come in. It's that kind of genuine.
Yeah, yeah. So if anyone does want to donate to that, then there will be a link in the show notes that you can go and donate to mine and Becca's charity walk.
Mm-hmm.
Have you decided where we're going yet?
No, I haven't yet. I still need to look. We need a circular 10K route, don't we?
Yeah, we do.
Minimum 10K.
Minimum of 10K.
Yeah, but we've got our Christmas t-shirts, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got our matching charitable t-shirts, which will be fun to wear.
That's right.
Not fun to do, I'll be honest. But,
well, good for you anyway.
Yes, I think so. At least I'll be getting into heaven on your coattails anyway. Okay, well, thank you for that, Becca. And I think that concludes our very informative midpoint. Don't forget, guys, if you want to be part of the show, email us at contact@talkaboutghosts.com and we'll arrange a time so we can have a conversation and record it for the show. How exciting is that? I think it's very exciting, Kevin. Thank you, Kevin. You're welcome, Kevin. Okay, see you on the other side. And we are back. I hope you enjoyed our little midpoint there and refreshed yourselves with refreshments. Yeah, so maybe candy corn. Okay, our last story today comes in from Kim. And Kim writes, "Hello, Kevin Becker. Hello.
Hello.
Here's one that I think about constantly and will never get over. It's more sad than creepy, and that's why it upsets me a lot. Oh dear. Let's get to it. I was working as a nurse in a district ICU/HDU on a night shift. I was in the HDU, or the high dependency unit, where patients are not ventilated, but still highly monitored and their monitors hooked up to a central screen on the nurse station. We had 2 patients in opposite beds, and 2 of us on duty, the rest of the staff down a short connecting corridor in the ICU. My colleague had gone on her break. The patients were stable and sleeping. I sat at the nurse's station catching up with the paperwork. I had a clear view of both patients, their monitors and, of course, the central screen on my desk. This equipment is highly sensitive, and if someone so much as takes a deep breath or shuffles around, it shows the waveforms. I'm sat filling out papers when I hear a man, clear as a bell, call out, "Can you help me, love?" I look over to see 2 sleeping soundly. No sign on the monitors of anything. The breathing and heart rhythms undulating with no interruptions. I say, "I'll be with you in a second." and quickly finished the sentence I was writing. But before I could get up, I heard it again. Louder and even clearer this time. "Can you help me, love?" I got up and went to each bed, but both men were still sleeping soundly. So I put it down to talking in their sleep. Unlikely, since the monitor showed nothing, but that's all I had. I didn't even mention it when my colleague returned. As morning broke, our cleaner arrived, as was her habit, went right into the toilet to get changed. It was behind the station but separated by locked double doors, in an area where the relative's room and a storeroom was, before another set of locked double doors out into the main corridor. She hadn't managed to get changed before she came bursting in, telling us somebody needed help and asking why we were sitting around doing nothing. We assured her nobody needed help. The patients were all fine. She went back to continue changing but soon came back in, insisting someone needed help, and she had us checking the relative's room and storeroom, even though we knew they were empty. Satisfied but confused, she went back a third time to the loo, and came again bursting back into the unit, swearing never to go into that toilet again. We calmed her down enough for her to tell us clearly what had happened. She said she heard a man right up close to her ear, in the loo, saying, "Can you help me, love?" I went home that morning with a very heavy heart, and to this day I kick myself for not calling out, "What do you need?" to the man who needed help. I truly feel like I failed someone I could have helped. If only I had realised at the time that was happening. But the voice was so clear, and not accompanied by the usual feelings you get when there's a spirit. There was no indication for me I was hearing a voice that had no body. I really hope he managed to find what he was looking for and got to where he needed to be. This will trouble me all my days, and I hope if something happens like this again, I'll be more alert and responsive. Love, Kim. Aw, don't feel bad, Kim. I understand why you do, but you shouldn't, because also it's a bit bloody terrifying, isn't it? "Can you help me, love?" If I heard that right now in this room and there's no one here, I'd be like, "No. And don't call me love," and I'd run. Yes, I'd fetch two priests, and we know what their ages would be, young and or old. Yes, indeed, sir. Thank you, though, Kim, and do, if you have any more scary experiences, do send them on in. As I said at the start of the show, we need your stories now more than ever. Yes, so send them in to contact@talkaboutghosts.com, and I will read them out. Don't forget, like I mentioned in the midpoint as well, if you'd like to actually come on the show, we're trialling a way to do that, so email us at contact@talkaboutghosts.com and say, "I'd like to come on the show to talk about my scary experience," and we'll arrange it somehow, somewhere, some way. Yes, we will. Won't that be fun? Yes, I think it will. Okay, so yeah, if you want to be a Patreon, go to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts, all that fun stuff over there. If you want to donate to the charity we're doing the walk for, the link's in the show notes. Oh, and it's the season finale. Yes, the end of season one. Finale of The Dark Paranormal on Wednesday, so make sure you check that out. Okay, in the meantime and in between time, guys, take care of yourselves and each other. Copyright Jerry Springer, mid-90s. And I will speak to you if you're a Patreon on Wednesday or after this. And if not, I will speak to you all next Sunday when hopefully you've sent in a shed loads of stories. Yes. Okay then, guys, take care. Tatty bye.